Okay, so we're going to continue our Sunday school class that we started last week. Our series, of course, is Developing a Better Relationship with God, and we're in lesson number 6, our interaction with the Son as His servant. So let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this morning, the time we can be together. We thank you for this Sunday school time where we get to open your word and study it. I just pray that you'd bless our time together. Please also bless the children's class downstairs. And may everything we do and say bring honor and glory to you this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, we only got through the introduction. And we saw how when you and I are saved, the Lord redeemed us. He bought us back from the slave market of sin. He purchased us with his own blood, right? And we were slaves to sin, slaves to Satan. You know, we were his children. Now we have been made permanent servants, permanent slaves of the Lord Jesus. What's the Old Testament teaching? What's it called? Bond slave, okay, and that was from Exodus 21. There was a time in Israel's past that if you had a debt and you owed a debt to somebody or somebody bought your debt, you became their slave for 7 or 6 years. In the 7th year, you were set free. But you could stay with your master if you, what was the condition? Number one condition. I love my master. I'm going to stay here, even though he's given my freedom. And then your ear lobe was placed up against the doorpost, and awl was ran through your ear. And I don't know if it was just that you had a hole in your ear or if there was an earring put in there, but whatever. You know, there was definitely a sign that you were a bond slave. And of course, that teaching carries over to the New Testament. And the Apostle Paul calls himself many times a doulos, bond slave. So you and I now are slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how does that's our attitude toward him. We want to always serve him. But how does he treat us? And this is what we ended with last week. How does he treat us? As what? Children, but Jesus in particular, the Father teaches us as brethren, but in particular, he said, if you are my friends, right? So he treats us as friends. His yoke is easy, his burden is light, right? He's a much different master. That's what Lord, the word Lord means. You know, he's much different master than Satan and sin were. So how do we fellowship it with him? That's what we're going to pick up on today. Number one, our praying to the Lord as his servants. We can talk to him about anything. Look at Hebrews 4, a very familiar passage. Hebrews 4. And don't forget this. We can talk to him about what? Anything. You know, your troubles, your trials, your temptations. You know, everything. Because, number one, he knows it anyway, but he wants us to talk to him. Could you imagine a slave in the, you know, 1800s in America going to his master and saying, oh, I'm not doing too good today. I'd like the day off. ain't going to happen, right? You know, crack the whip. Look at Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Okay, he's ascended back into heaven. He's our high priest. This is what we're going to look at this coming Thursday night. His ministry now, the Messiah's ministry as high priest. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, what's available for us? because of Jesus' ministry as high priest? Mercy, grace, and help, right? He wants to help us. So one way to develop a better relationship with God is, I know this kind of goes along with the one we already looked at, prayer, but in particular, pray to your master as you serve him, okay? And his response to our request is conditional, okay? What do I mean by that? I'm glad you're asked. We must ask in his name. That's one condition. Look at John 14. John 14, 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Okay, question. What does this mean to ask in Jesus' name? Is it just tacking on at the end of a prayer in Jesus' name, and that automatically makes it answered? Okay, Jesus as our mediator, right? So we're asking in his name. We're coming to the Father in his name. He's the mediator. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Okay, good. What else? Okay, so we come to him then in his merit, right? What he has done, right? His merit and his intercession, right? Because of what he has done.
Also, if we're like his ambassador or his agent.
Okay.
If we're on his behalf.
Okay, we're on his behalf, so we could say it's also, when we pray in Christ's name, it's consistent with his character. Right? I'm not going to pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, let me win that lottery. You know, that's not consistent with his character. But could I pray, Lord, I've got a great financial need, and I know that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, and I know this is nothing for you. Could you help me with this financial burden?
Right, it's how you pray.
Not only how you pray, but, you know, is it consistent with his character?
Well, I mean, like, there's a difference between praying for a new car and praying for safe transportation.
Yeah, right.
Right. Is that how you work?
Lord, I need a car, so I really want a, you know, 2024 Corvette.
Just, you know, I was not using
the... You know.
No, but, that was the first thing that came
you know, the Lord knows the things that we need, but so he's our mediator. We pray consistent with Christ's character. We plead his merit, the blood, right, and his intercession. It's to depend upon him, right? It's depending upon him in our prayer, and it's on account of him, you know, to depend upon him. And to intercede for our account. So this is what it means. It's not just a magic formula at the end of a prayer. And if we pray like we ought to, what's the promise?
He answers.
He answers, okay? And what are the answers to prayer? I mean, basically, sometimes the answer is no, correct? You know, because what does God always want for us? Romans 8:28. What does he always want for us? Our good, right? So it's, and the answer will always be our good. And sometimes waiting is for our good, because add to your faith, one of the things we add to our faith is patience, okay? But it's also conditional on, just flip your Bible a page, John 15:7. It's also conditional on abiding in him. John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So here's another answer to prayer, but, you know, asking and receiving. But what is the condition? Abiding. So what does it mean to abide?
Trust.
Okay, part of it, yep. But what is the context there? If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. Okay? Okay.
Exist, you know, that's our existence.
Right.
Everything we say, think, or do should be to the, you know, glory of God and honoring Him.
What is this in the context of? The vine, the branch abiding in the vine, right? And what can the branch do by itself? Nothing. Die. Right? Can't produce fruit by itself. You cut off a nice, you know, after a tree is totally leafed out and you cut the limb off and you throw it on the ground, eventually those leaves are going to die, wither up, and blow away. You know? So to abide in Jesus is because of the indwelling of His Word in us. It secures the harmony of our asking according to His will, right? We'll know what to ask if His Word abides in us. We're not going to ask frivolous things, okay? The Lord knows our needs. He knows we have needs, you know, even our wants, right? Sometimes the Lord gives us the desire. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing, right? So sometimes the Lord gives us even the desires of our heart. Andy, looks like you want to say something. Remember when we looked at our relationship with the Father. Our relationship with the Father is like a child, right? A child and a father. So what does a child do? A child relies on his father for everything, right? Now here we are, a master and a slave. What does the slave own? Nothing. Who owns everything that he has? Who provides everything that he has? The master, right? So abiding in him also, like Andy said, it's that dependence upon him for everything, right? Just as the branch, in the context of Romans, John 15, just like the branch can't do anything unless it's attached to the vine, we can't either. So we're going to abide with him. We're going to stick close to him. We're going to read his word. So where do we find out what's in his word? Where do we find out what he wants us to do? In his word, right? If you love me, keep my commandments, okay? So this is what it means, you know, so we can talk to him about anything and he answers our prayers, but there's certain conditions on our prayer. And what do we want to do? We want to develop that better relationship with God. So we develop that better relationship with God by abiding in Him and His Word in us. And as we abide in Him and His Word abides in us, we'll know more about His character. We'll know, you know, at praying and what it means to pray in His name. We'll ask the right prayers at the right time, and He'll answer them at the right time. That's a promise. You know, and God, and what does God do with His promises? Keeps them, right? All right, any questions on that? So, servants. So in the context here, we're praying as His servants, right? We want to serve Him. We want to make Him look good. We want to do everything for His glory, okay? Good? All right, number two, our submission to the Lord as His servants. One of the things that we must be as good doulos, as good bond servants, as good bond slaves, is is to be submissive. Who's the master? Who's the slave? Right? Matthew 28:18, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus said unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, right? So who is the authority? Jesus, right? So the next word in verse 19 is go. Okay? Look at Philippians 2. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, Philippians 2, verse 5 through 11. Because of everything that Jesus had done concerning his first advent, verse 5 to 8, you know, his coming to earth, his dying. Verse 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Okay? So who's the Lord? Who? And that word means master. Who's the master? Jesus. So we must be submissive to his authority. Remember, this is our attitude, right? He does not, he does not Lord over us. You know what I mean? Peter tells the pastors in 1 Peter chapter 5, don't lord over God's flock. First off, remember, it's God's flock. It's not your flock. So don't you lord over them, because I'm the Lord. But how does the Lord treat us? Like friends. Okay? So he's a very... He's a very easy master to be submissive to, right? And think about this, verses 5 to 8. He's already been submissive to the Father. He's already, you know, he's demonstrated for us what it's like to be a servant to the point of death. So he's not asking us to do anything that he himself has not already done at times a million. Right? Because where was he? You know, the highest of heaven, right? And he came down to be the lowest of men. Okay? And our submission to the Lord as his servants are being submissive to his authority and are being submissive to his vitality or life. I should have had you keep a finger in John 15 because in those same passages in John 15, verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I'm the true vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. I have a note in my Bible I heard a preacher say once, the Lord didn't say without you I can do nothing. He said, without me, you can do nothing. The Lord doesn't need us, but he wants us, right? And isn't it interesting? What the Lord asks us to do, he provides the strength and the ability to do. By how? Abiding in him. So we're abiding and in his life. If you're getting, how do I explain this? I've heard many people say this, and I agree. It's one thing to be tired in the Lord's work, to grow tired in the Lord's work. But we should never grow tired of the Lord's work. See the difference there? I mean, I can minister all day long, and usually, you know, I go home. You may think, oh, what's so hard about standing up in front of people and preaching, you know. I go home on Sunday, and I'm pretty much wiped out. I need a nap because I'm going Sunday night now and teaching other classes. Takes a lot out of you. Ministering to people, you know, sitting in the hospital with them as they're waiting for their child to come out of. I remember going to the hospital and sitting with the Stonis family and the Hemingway family as Katie is giving a kidney to Danielle, right? So usually you go to hospital, it's, you know. Then I go to the hospital again At least it was the same family, but Andrew's giving a kidney to his father, right? So again, but two sets of families you're praying for. Ministry, you know, but we do these things, we abide in him, and he gives us the strength and the ability to do what he asks us to do. It's amazing. Our whole salvation, start to finish, is of the Lord. And our whole sanctification, living for the Lord, he provides everything we need. His word, his spirit, his life, his presence, other believers. Everything we need, he provides. So our submission to the Lord is a servant's. Any questions on that? Thoughts? I'm just saying this because it's what I'm going through right now. In a physical sense, my caring for my dad right now is not physically demanding. I don't have to pick him up. But I've been taking him all over. I've been listening to doctors, making appointments. And that emotional toll takes a physical toll also on your body. And I told Sandy the other day, I didn't do anything today, but I'm exhausted. Because, I mean, I was in the hospital, I was talking to doctors, and then, you know, the unknown, you know, dad loses 3 units of blood and stays in the hospital for 4 days. We bring him home Friday, and we bring him home Friday with no diagnosis, you know, and that is, it's stressful, and so, you know, but who gives the strength to do this, you know, and we need to do this, and, you know, the Lord has given me, you know, a couple verses in Proverbs, you know, as I get older, and my parents get older, you know, Sandy and I are blessed, we're both in our 60s, and we still have all 4 of our parents, you know, that's not common, you know. And we're thankful for that, but with that comes, you know, comes some responsibility. And then church, you know, if we're the kind of body that we're supposed to be, you know, when, you know, we prayed about Courtney and you know, there was a little bit of angst there for a little while, and now we rejoice, you know, with together. So a body feels the pain of the body, right? I stubbed my little toe at night. What part of your body knows that you stubbed your little toe in the middle of the night? Every part of your body. And other bodies also know when you scream. You know? So, Andy, you look like you want to say something.
I had a little question. When you said, don't
pour it over my swath. Yeah, it's in 1 Peter 5. Peter, you know, Peter, when he's talking to the pastors, you know, don't lord over, I don't know the exact verse, but it's in the beginning part because, you know, Peter says that he is a shepherd also. 1 Peter 1 through, well, verse 3 is the exact verse I quoted. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example. But it's 1 through 4. Okay. Yep. Yep. Okay. So what do we do also? So we pray to him, we're submissive to him, and all of this is in ministering to him, right? We're our new master wants us not to slave for him like sin did. He wants us to minister, right? So our work as Christians is for the benefit of others and for the glory of God, right? Total different outcome, right? If you're a slave to our old, let's just say we're slaves, you know, what is the purpose of our existence? More cotton, right? That's our existence, more cotton. What is our existence as a slave? Ministry to the glory of God, right? What? Royal priesthood. We're ministering to other people. We're trying to help them, number one, see God, get saved. Number two, grow, right? So we have a same coin, two side. Evangelism, edification, right? Same side. People get saved, we make disciples. And in making disciples, there's evangelism, there's edification. And we do that to the glory of God. That brings our ministry down to the very simplest form, which sometimes we need to remember that, you know. So everything that we do as a church, we need to do to the glory of God, and it falls under one of those two categories, evangelism, edification. Okay? Lots of ways, lots of things you can do to edify people, lots of things you can do to evangelize people. Ultimately, though, it has to be the gospel, has to be gospel-centered. You understand what I'm saying? So our ministering for Jesus as his servants. And this is by our expressing our love for him. John 14:15, Jesus said very simply, if you love me, keep my commandments. What was the first thing that a bond slave had to say to become a bond slave? I love my master. Right? Same thing. Isn't it amazing how the Bible fits together? If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay? And then we become Jesus' body on earth. How is Jesus working today? Through us. We are his hands, his feet, his eyes, his mouth, right? That's why we're called the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27, Ephesians 1, all those passages are there. We are his body. That's why Jesus said in the upper room to his disciples, it's good for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. And so Jesus, for a period of time, God was localized in a body. Chose to be, okay? And he could only be one place at a time, right? But when the Spirit came, where's God now? Where's Jesus now?
Everywhere.
Everywhere, right? You know, working through us. There's people he's working through on the other side of that mountain, whatever that mountain is called over there. And there's people on the other side. There's people in Israel today that are ministering. We know of, you know, Grant and artists and the church over there. You know, there's people all over the place working and ministering. So we express our love for him, and we are his body on earth. So that means if we're his body on earth, this all ties together. Whose work are we doing? His work. Why? Because we're abiding in him, right? And then we'll know what to ask because we're doing his work, because we're his body, okay? And then we need to keep ourselves pure. Look at 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 1, they were verses that said that, you know, we are the body of Christ, okay? But we keep ourselves pure. 2 Corinthians 11. Here's Paul, his prayer for the Corinthian church. He says, would to God ye bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I fear lest by any means the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the, what's the next phrase? Simplicity that is in Christ. There's nothing complicated about this. Okay? Nothing complicated. What did I say? One coin, two sides. What did I say our ministry was narrowed down to? Evangelism, edification, all for the glory of God. You know, what's the simplicity of the gospel? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Right? You know, but in that we have to maintain our purity, because not only are we the body of Christ, we're also the bride of Christ. Right? And think about a husband and wife relationship. One of the vows that they make, a husband and wife, is that you will keep yourself for the other pure, right? You won't step out on your bound, your marriage bonds. You'll stay pure. Your eyes will only be for each other, okay? So we keep ourselves pure. How do we make ourselves unpure as Christians? The world, right? The world, the flesh, the devil. Our three enemies.
In the world, not of the world.
Right? We can't leave the world. So how do we stay pure? Abide. See how it all just... If we are abiding in Him, if we're abiding in His Word, you know, if we're doing things, we'll stay pure. Yes, there'll be the temptation. You know, right? But what's the wonderful thing about our Master? When we sin... He doesn't put us on the, tie us to the thing and whip us. What does He do? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. See the difference between our Master and Simon LeGrew, or LeGree, whatever his name was, from Uncle Tom's Cabin, right? You know, we don't have marks on our back from the Lord. He has our marks on His back, right? We don't. He does. So we keep ourselves pure for Him. And by seeking to fulfill Jesus' overall objective. In John 12 and John 17, Jesus said He came to glorify His Father. Right? Everything He did was to bring glory to the Father. 1 Corinthians 10:31. What is our overall objective? Do all things to the glory of God. Right? Same objective. Same goal. Doing everything to the glory of God. So this is, you know, we pray to the Lord. We can talk to Him about anything. His response to our request is conditional, because we want to make sure we ask in His name and we abide in Him. Our submission to the Lord as His servants, we're submissive to His authority, and we're counting on Him for His life and vitality in us, and we minister to Him for Him by expressing our love for Him. I love my Master, by being Jesus' body on earth, by keeping ourselves pure, by seeking to fulfill Jesus' overall objective, and then are abiding in that love. John 15. John 15, verse 9. Not only are we to abide in Him, but we're to abide in His love. John 15, verse 9 and 10 says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." So this abiding in His love is not our maintaining His infinite love for us, but it's our being in a place where we are aware of His love for us and His presence with us. You understand what I'm saying? We abide in Him. And the closer we get to Him, and the more we're in His Word, and the more we pray with Him, we realize how much He, what? Loves us. And that's where I want to abide. I want to abide in His love. I have no stripes on my back, and I've been disobedient, and I deserve stripes on my back, but by His stripes, we're healed. Right? He took our whooping. And this place is that of obedience to His will for us, that He ever loves us and is always with us, is two of the greatest supports for life in this world. Christy, read John 13:1. And Andy, read the end of Matthew 28:20. Think about this. He ever loves us and is always with us is great support for life in this world. John 13:1.
Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end.
Okay, he loved those that were in this world, and how far did his love go? Completely to the end, right? Because what happens in the following chapters? He's arrested, he's tried, and he dies for us, right? And Matthew 28:20.
And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Okay, so where is God? And where is he with us? Everywhere. Always and everywhere. Does he ever leave us? We've all probably heard or seen the poem with the picture, Footprints in the Sand, right? You know, Lord, I went through this trial, only one set of footprints, where were you? Well, that's really me carrying you, don't you? You know, but he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. We might, you know, sin might separate us, sin might, you know, in the sense that it doesn't separate the salvation from us, but that close fellowship, right? And so our obedience to him allows him to make us aware of these blessings and to minister to us by them. So our, you know, all of these blessings we saw, even though you and I are bond slaves, we don't like that word, but who's our master, right? All these, I would rather be a doorkeeper in heaven, right? Isn't that what I don't know if that's Asaph or David or who it means, but the psalmist, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I don't care what I am. I just want to be in heaven with the Lord, right? I'll sweep the golden streets. I'll do whatever, you know, because I love my master. And that's where this all starts, right? That relationship we have with Jesus is that of master. He's our master, we're his slave, but he treats us as friends. Okay? Thoughts, questions, comments? Yes, Joanna.
I like, you know, this, just to see this whole circle, because I was thinking it as well, that it's as simple, you know, all of this can just be simply said in the word abiding. Mm-hmm. You can just abide, which the world does, and there's like no hope.
Nope.
There's confusion, you know, which is the world is experiencing right now.
Yep.
Just kind of floating through life. But when you abide in Christ, it's an easy thought that,
yep,
if you start there, you know, that everything else that pertains to life is in the Word.
Yep, amen.
So you don't have to overthink it. Just start your day determined one step at a time to abide in Christ.
Yep.
And you'll be enriched. You'll find joy. You'll,
amen,
find direction. You'll
just do it, right? Just abide. Love him. And then he'll love us. And before we get to you, Andy had something he was going to say.
John 3:16.
Okay.
Just following up with what you said.
Mm-hmm.
And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comfort, that he may abide with you forever.
Yep.
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not.
Yep. In you. Yep. So our master is in us through his Spirit, right? Abiding with us. So
whenever you would mention that we're the slaves and he's the master, the verse that kept popping into my mind is Psalm 23:1.
Mm-hmm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yep. Yep.
So it just keeps coming back to it.
Yep. I mean, sheep, right? Sheep is dependent upon the shepherd, right? And the sheep can't do anything on its own. Sheep are, it's not a compliment that we're called sheep. It's a wonderful pet. Sheep are dumb animals. They really are, you know. But we're dependent, you know, and we need to be dependent upon the Lord. Yeah, and that's the other thing. Sheep are followers.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have carpal tunnel.
Right.
So I'm supposed to wear it for 4 weeks before I go see somebody else about it. It doesn't hold. I woke up at 2:30 in the morning in terrible pain. My fingers, my hand, my arm. I felt like I was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I prayed, please take this away from me.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good, and He answers our prayer, and He loves us, and He wants us to serve Him, and we should want to serve Him with our life.